And so we say, we are the people of God, called out from the world, chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, being transformed by the Spirit, and journeying together to the day when the rule of God covers the earth. Amen? I like certainty. I like to be sure about things. I like it when I have a really good, deep assurance that what I think is going to happen really is happening. At my house, if I come down the stairs from our upstairs to our downstairs and I sit there on the bottom step and I begin to put on my shoes, I am certain that something will happen. And as soon as I stand up and take one step toward the closet where the dog's leash is held, it happens. Out of nowhere, a brown, furry beast comes, and he races toward the door, and he dances back and forth, and he spins in circles. I don't even have to say the word walk, because I am certain that when I put my shoes on at the bottom of the stairway, that he wants to take his human for a walk. It works every time. I like that assurance. It's quite fun to be so certain. I have a wonderful job. I get to teach at Dallas Seminary, and I have a high assurance, a high sense of confidence, a high certainty that they'll pay me. So far, they've always done it, twice a month. Actually, I never see the check. They never hand me anything. It just goes directly into a bank account, but I have a high sense of assurance, confidence that I'll get paid at the right time, the right amount. It's nice to live with that assurance. At this point, I have a fairly reliable vehicle. In fact, it's turned out to be really reliable. And I have confidence that when I take that key and I put it in the ignition and turn it, it's going to start. It always has. It's a good truck. I like having that kind of assurance, that kind of confidence, that sense of certainty. It's really nice. But it's not so nice when life doesn't have that kind of certainty. What if I had to put my shoes on and wonder, is my dog going to bite me today? What if I had to go to work wondering, man, I wonder if my employer is good for that paycheck? That's not so nice. What if I took my keys and walked out to my truck wondering, I wonder if this thing's going to start. And some of you know exactly what that's like. That's not so nice to live with uncertainty, to live without assurance. If we have this kind of desire in these kind of mundane passing things of life, how much more intensely do we desire to have certainty, confidence, assurance when it comes to our eternal relationship with God? How much more intensely do we really want to have this sense of certainty that we are in relationship with Him in a most intimate way and that we are moving in the right direction? That for us is important. In fact, I think all of us would love to have an ever-increasing, a greater sense of assurance that we are in a good relationship with God, that we are tight with God. You know, like two fingers crossed. That's God and me. We're together going forward. Would that be good? But in fact, our experience often fills us with doubt. We live caught in a tension where we've had those moments where we felt really good about our relationship with God, perhaps. But it's elusive. It slips away, this feeling. It's like catching the wind. Can't quite be as certain as we'd like. Or for a moment or two, we might feel like we're really close to God and we have a sense of security in this relationship. But then... then like a shadowy figure, it just slips into the night. And we no longer have such confidence such certainty. Most of us would love to have a greater assurance with God, that we are tight together. What is the essential evidence that proves to us, that assures us, that we have an intimate relationship with God? What evidence gives you a deep confidence that indeed you and God are tight together? Now, let's be clear. What I'm talking about here is not security. We are secure in God. That's an objective reality. Security has to do with his ability to hold on to us. That's not in question. What I'm talking about is assurance. That feeling, that sense of certainty that has to do with our relationship. If I put my money in Fort Knox, it is secure. No one gets in. Whether or not I trust that, that's a different situation. That's assurance. That's the heart of our question here this morning is what kind of evidence could we find that will bolster our assurance, our confidence, our certainty that indeed we are in a great relationship with God? Where do you look for it? What we're going to do is, in a couple of minutes, we're going to open the text and we'll look and find essential evidence there. The evidence that we will be able to grab hold of, and it will make us, I think, more assured that we are in relationship with God. And then we're going to move from there, and we're going to look at how to assess that evidence in our own lives. But before we look at the text, and before we go into an assessment, I'm going to start just talking about how our sense of assurance is attacked in this day. I want to think with you together about how it is that our certainty gets undermined just as we walk through life. How does it happen? Well, I think there are at least four different kinds of attacks that beat us up in terms of our assurance and surety. There are those past failures, first of all, that cause us doubt. You know, we call them the skeletons in the closet. It's those things that we used to have behind us, but every once in a while they kind of pop up into our memories and cause us to doubt that we really have a relationship with God. It's that past sexual relationship that really wasn't moral. It's done, but the memory lingers on. It's the abuse that you dished out to someone, perhaps physical, perhaps verbal, but you've wounded someone. It's in the past, but oh my, how it can come back and haunt us with doubts about our relationship with God. Perhaps you remember a lie that you told, the deception that you put out in order to gain something for yourself. And it could never be reversed. The damage is done. And you hear a voice inside of you that says, people like you, they can't have a relationship with God. And our doubts increase. Or maybe you stole something one day. Something that you could never quite return. Something that's never been able to be reversed. And every so often that creeps up into your mind. The skeletons in the closet. And they make us doubt that we could ever really be tight with God. Sometimes it's not the past failures. It's the present shortcomings that push us into a situation of doubt. They cloud our sense of certainty about our relationship with God. You perhaps have tried over and over to have a daily Bible reading schedule, and you've really thought, I want to read my Bible, and I want to pray more, and I just keep failing. I must not be able to have a relationship with God. I'm no good. Or maybe that shortcoming has to do with being more active in church and in ministry, and you are certain that one of the things that you would like to do is attend more and befriend more Christians and help out more, and it just hasn't worked out. In those quiet moments, you sit down and a voice inside of your head says, people like you, you're not tight with God. Look at your performance. Or perhaps for you, the shortcoming is simply wanting to be a better mom, or a godly dad, or a Christ-following husband or wife, and you have failed and failed and failed, and your family relationships are a mess, and there's no sense of confidence that you have an intimate relationship with God. The doubts creep in. Skeletons in the closet, past failures, present shortcomings. Sometimes our doubts even come from just a lack of blessing from God. Health deteriorates. We feel bad. Financial difficulties crop up, not even of our own doing. And it seems that God is not blessing us, he's cursing us. Strife in the family and perhaps a rebellious child or a parent who hates us. And the conclusion that comes to our mind is, God is not blessing me. We must not be tight. And our sense of assurance goes down. And sometimes we just recognize that we live in a climate of uncertainty. A postmodern world that says to us, you can't know anything for sure. It's kind of the flavor of the day, uncertainty. Just live with it. All knowledge is tinged with this doubt. And you want to say that you're close to a God that we can't prove exists? Come on. And the voices of our culture push us toward doubt. You see, my friends, we are in a precarious situation. Our assurance is under attack. And whether you feel it this morning or you felt it in the past, you will likely feel it in the future. The temptation to say, I can't really have any assurance. It's exactly in this kind of a situation where our author, the Apostle John, wrote a little letter. And he says to people who are in need of a boost to their assurance, I can tell you where to look. For you see, in their day, they had a church, probably smaller than ours. And some of the people had left. And they'd left saying that we know God. We have a relationship with God. And likely the results on those who remained were devastating for their sense of assurance, confidence. And it's into that group that the Apostle John writes his encouragement. He encouraged them. He encourages us as well. And what he says is this: the essential evidence, the critical evidence that you are tight with God is that you love like Jesus. 1 John chapter 2. I invite you to turn there and we'll see how the evidence that we have to look at is the evidence of loving others like Jesus. He doesn't use exactly those words, but we'll figure it out along the way. 1 John chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 3 through 6, but we start just with verses 3 through 5. And I want you to see the evidence that is there, that he says, that the evidence that you are in a tight relationship with God is that you love like Jesus. These are encouraging words that John writes. So we begin First John chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him, know God, if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God or love of God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know that we are in him. Period. John is saying to this group of beat-up believers in the first century whose assurance is being undermined, he is saying this: the proof, the evidence that you can look at about how your relationship is with God is this, that you love like Jesus. Let me show you how it works. First of all, notice that this really is the topic that John's dealing with, this whole topic of assurance of relationship with God. In fact, he points to the issue three times in three verses. Did you notice? He uses his word to know to demonstrate this question of assurance. So in chapter 2, verse 3, he says, we know that we've come to know him. This is an issue of assurance. Am I certain about it? Verse 4 is talking about people who say, I know him. And in verse 5, the issue is, this is how we know that we are in him. What John is talking about is this whole issue of certainty. How do you know for sure? What's the assurance that you can gain? That's the issue. And then he says very clearly that the way you know is by looking at the evidence of how you love like Jesus loved. And you say, wait, I didn't see that in there. How did you get that? Well, he actually speaks of it in terms of the commandment of God. Go back again and look at verse 1. We know that we have come to know him. We know that we're in relationship if we keep his commands. The same thing in verse 5. If we obey his word. That begs the question, what command are we talking about here, John? What commands are you thinking about when you say that we've got to be able to see that we're keeping these commands? He's not talking about Old Testament law. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments here per se. I think John actually is previewing something he's going to say in the next chapter, where he says exactly, here's what the command is to believe in Jesus as the Christ and to love like he loved. If you have your Bibles, just turn over one page and you'll see it there in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. Now, chapter 3, verse 23, this is his commandment. This is God's commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and do what? Love one another, just as he gave us the commandment. That's what God wants his people to do, to have the obedience of loving one another just like Jesus did it. Wow. So let's go back and read the text now, verses 3 and 5, with a fuller understanding of exactly what John's saying, and I think it'll pop out for you. It says in verse 3, we know, or we have assurance, that we are in an intimate relationship with God if we obey God's command to love others like Jesus loved. Verse 5, if anyone who obeys his word, that is the word to love like Jesus, the love relationship with God is made complete in that person. This is how we know. This is how we have assurance. This is how we have certainty that we are in an intimate relationship with him. Wow. Now, let's be really clear. Notice that the text does not say that obedience produces a relationship with God. It's the other way around. Obedience does not create a relationship with God. Obedience confirms the relationship with God. You don't love like Jesus to establish a relationship with God. What John is saying is, when you love like Jesus, you can say, I have a relationship with God. It's obvious. I'm sure of it. Be encouraged. I think about the fact that Cindy and I are about to celebrate our 35th anniversary coming up here in about a month, I think. Is that right? Yeah. And I can tell you, I'm really sure that we have a good, intimate relationship. And I'll tell you how I know. It's not because she says, and she does regularly, love you. It's not just her words. It's not because I can go back and dig up a piece of paper that has called a marriage certificate that says that was a day back on June 7th, 1980, that we were married. And it's not even because I can look on her finger and my finger and see a couple of rings, although those are really nice things, all of them, that help bolster my assurance. What gives me the most assurance, what helps my confidence the most about our relationship is this. She loves me in the way she acts. I can see it. There's the proof. What John is saying to us through the Holy Spirit is that the proof, the demonstration that we have this relationship with God the Father is how well we obey his command to be like Jesus and love his people. To love like Jesus, though, is not just evidence. It is essential evidence. It is required evidence. It's critical evidence. Let me show you verses 4 and 6. Verse 4 will tell us that if you don't have this evidence, you don't have relationship with God. Chapter 2, verse 4, whoever says, I know him, nice claim, but does not do what he commands. Now, what is it he commands? Loves the people, loves others. He is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. To claim that you have a relationship with God and have no evidence of love for God's people makes you out to be a liar. The claim is false. You don't have a relationship with God. In fact, he says it at least as strongly in verse 6, where he will say that if you have a relationship with God, you must have this evidence of love. Look at verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him, that is, live in God, whoever claims to have this relationship with God, this intimate connection with God, must live as Jesus did. It's the normal, natural, expected, obligatory outcome. If you have that relationship with him, it will result in a life like Jesus. Now, this is kind of interesting, because the life of Jesus, that's pretty big. I think John is focusing on something very specific about the life of Jesus. It's the way he loved others. How do I know that? Well, this is kind of a cool little word where he says he ought to live or he must live as Jesus lived. You caught it there in verse 6, right? That he must live as Jesus did. There are three other occasions where John uses this same word, that you must do what Jesus has done. And in each case, it has to do with something where Jesus has done something for others, and he says, you must do the same. John chapter 13, back in the gospel, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And what does he say? Now that you have seen me show this kind of love, you must love in the same manner. Here in this book, 1 John, we won't look at it, but chapter 3, verse 16, the text says, as Jesus laid down his life for others, so you must lay down your life for others. In 1 John chapter 4, the text says, if God so loved us by sending Jesus to die, we ought to, same word, do what? Love one another. So what's the point? The point here is that when John says you ought to do something, it always communicates this idea of loving people just like Jesus did. So when he says you ought to walk as Jesus walked, that's his nice way of saying you ought to love like Jesus loved, that same sacrificial manner. So you see, my friends, this is essential evidence. I think I've mentioned before that I like to relax with those good, you know, murder mystery things on criminal crime shows on TV. There's a whole host of them. But they have a very similar theme often. The crime is committed, and the police go and they find the person who appears to have been the culprit and committed the crime. And, of course, they bring him in, and often the producers will let you in, and you know as an audience that this is the right person. Anyway, he's got those slanty eyes, and he's got sinister-sounding voice, and he laughs in a way that, yeah, he's the guy. You got to get him. And, of course, the police who've been doing the interview and collecting the evidence, they all know this is the guy. He's good for it. I know he committed the crime. And then the prosecuting attorney comes in and says, All your evidence is circumstantial. Get me the real evidence. Get me the critical evidence. Show me the real proof. Find me some DNA. Get me a camera that shows that he was there when the crime was committed. Get me an eyewitness testimony, something that I can take to the judge, and it will be for certain that that evidence seals the case. We'll know who the culprit is. My friends, there is evidence that God says to us is essential for our own sense of assurance. It's this, that we love like Jesus loves. And when we see that, it clinches the deal. We know we have a tight relationship with our God. So, we want assurance that we have an intimate relationship with God, and we see it when we can see ourselves engaged in loving like Jesus loved. So let's take a moment and assess our evidence in our lives. How are you doing with demonstrating the love for others in your life? Let me talk to a couple of different kinds of people. If you are loving others, then this morning, rest assured in your relationship with God. If you can look at some evidence in your life and you say, you know, I really have done some things like Jesus for other people, and it's my desire to do so, and I continue to do so. This morning, what this text tells us is you can enjoy a confidence that says, yes, I am tight with God because God is making me more like Jesus. Perhaps you can point to time this past week or so, or you gave up time to help a sister who needed help watching her kids, and you gave in sacrificial love, and you gave up your time in order to do something for her. Or perhaps you gave up money to help a brother in need. What this text says is, if you're acting like Jesus, rest assured, it demonstrates your relationship with God. Perhaps you sat by a brother who was grieving, and you bore up with that burden, showing real love. That's an indication that you're loving like Jesus and you have a relationship with God. Perhaps you found a brother or sister who's struggling with sin, and you sat and put your arm around him or her and prayed with them and cried out to God on their behalf. You show the love of Jesus. And John says, rest assured, it shows that you're tight with God. You have a relationship with him. Perhaps you showed love by confronting another believer over their sin and saying, hey, my friend, you just can't do that. That's a sacrificial love like Jesus. And when we do that, we can look back and say with a certain assurance, I have a relationship with God, because it's not normal to do such things. If you are living like Jesus, loving others, rest assured in your relationship to God. But for some of you, you'd say, you know, Vic, I'm not living like Jesus. I'm not really doing those kinds of things for other people. My life is characterized perhaps a bit more by selfishness, and I try to do things mostly for myself. And oh, every once in a while I might do something good, but it's not what drives me. May I suggest to you that today I don't want you to leave here with a sense of assurance. If you walk out of here telling yourself, you know, I really have a tight relationship with God. God and I, we're in it good together. And you're not loving other people. My friend, the text says, you're a liar. Don't fool yourself. Don't kid yourself. Stop it. And instead, start on a path of a relationship with God. Not by trying to earn it by loving others, but first by trusting the Lord Jesus as the one who indeed paid for all those sins in your closet and the skeletons and the things and the failures, and who one who took that to the cross and paid for your sin so that you could obey the command of God to believe in him and then show his love to others. And you, like all of us, will enjoy the assurance that comes as we love others like Jesus loved. Assurance really is a wonderful thing. I like knowing that my dog will take me on a walk. I like knowing that my car will start. I really do like knowing that my employer will pay me. But more than anything else, I'm praying that God will give all of us an overwhelming sense of assurance that we're in tight with him because we love his people. And so, our Father, we thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for giving us certainty. And yet at the same time, Lord, we would ask that we might pile up evidence that indeed we have a relationship with you. Encourage us and enable us, we pray, to be more like the Lord Jesus. For his sake, amen.